everyone, and welcome back to the final episode of Abridged. It is time to talk about this game. We had a lot of fun, and we're going to do a little debrief for it. So welcome back for the last time, at least for now, our buddy Quinn.
Hello. I'm excited for this, our little debrief here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to chat about the system and chat about the game, what we enjoyed about it, and all that jazz. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've given you kind of a list of questions. You can ask them. And if you have any other questions for us, just let us know.
Sounds good.
So I'm going to let you go ahead.
Awesome. My first question is, can we call this episode Crossing Over?
Yes.
I'm just probably going to call it
That's good.
Debrief.
But, you know. Fine.
I think that you need to fulfill his wish as the guest GM.
It'll have it in parentheses.
My real first question is, what did y'all think of this arc?
This was great.
It was great.
I had so much fun.
It was buck wild, and that was exactly what I was coming for. So
yeah, exactly. Like, this is exactly, it was exactly what I was hoping for, which was lots of fun and ridiculous and hilarious. I had a great time.
Yeah, I don't think there was any moment where I was like, oh, I'm not, this moment is not fun, you know, I'm so bored or anything, you know, because especially, which is odd considering that, well, not odd, but just like, you might think so based on certain things that happened to my character, but even in the worst moments, it was like...
You were pursued by a mob.
I was being chased by a mob through the majority of the game, but... Hey, it
incited
was
by usually your fellow players.
It was still, I will say, I think this is the most like player against player I think we've ever had in anything.
Amazingly. Oh boy, it was nuts.
It was chaos, but it was amazing chaos.
Chaos is what you and I like best, though, Hannah.
Yes, we thrive in chaos.
We do.
Chaos is
our best friend.
Element of this game, so yeah, it's working as designed, which I love to hear.
Yeah,
great. It's great.
Did anyone have a favorite part or a favorite moment, something that stuck out to you?
It's so hard to pick.
Honestly, one thing, as like listening back through it, when I was like trying to like BS them with terms, and I just like whispered symmetry, synergy.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that just made me laugh so hard.
Yeah,
and I love turning the troll, like the troll's powers against it was pretty fun.
Yeah,
that was great.
I loved the ending with and now I'm gonna forget names because it's been a while since we recorded the last episode. Andrew's character with the lassoing the train and all of that was just so good.
I was pretty proud of myself, and I also enjoyed that immensely. I was very, I guess one thing, maybe I'll phrase it this way. My favorite thing about the entire game we played was just how easy it was to yes and for you as the GM. Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific name for your system, or is it
just GM?
Okay. I couldn't remember. So... I just loved that, like, and I think that's like to you, Quinn, like to your credit, you're very good at yes anding as a GM, like in your own shows, like that's just how you GM, and it's awesome. And I liked getting to do that because it felt like the system helped do that and your style helped do that, which has made it so much fun. So
thank you.
Kudos.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
I often when I pitch Absurdia, I describe it as a game that's meant to be taken off the rails, and never has anyone done that so literally and metaphorically at the same time. So
that is amazing. Thank you. I can't believe that you're welcome. Oh, that's great.
I think it would be, just as far as favorite moment, that's really hard because I think everyone had great moments, which, you know, once again, balancing between all characters, that's great. But I think just the end, it might have to be just for the at the end when we've discovered the threat and everything, but like the closing, or like at least the closing shot of us all together is, you know, standing in the rail yard with this train crashed, and and everyone's like, oh, well, it's dead now, so we're good now. And we're just gonna go home now. And
yeah.
And it was just, and I remember initially thinking after the closing shot, I think I might have mentioned it actually in episode. I remember thinking, oh man, I just devoted all my last energy to getting my hands on Hanno's character because she was making me inordinately upset due to the troll, and I still didn't get to do that before it shut down. And I was like, oh man, I lost it. But I think everybody had a good ending moment too, which is, you know, having a good end coda for everybody is cool too.
I also did like the reveal of Goose. I have to slide that one in there.
Outstanding.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was so amazing.
Like A+. So there's a couple questions here about like what happens next and where y'all are, like, what do you think's going to happen next? What do you want to have happen? This is a one shot, so those aren't, you know, totally applicable, but I'd love to ask, like, you know, if there was a second arc, if there was a second one shot, either with the same or different characters, like, what would you like to see? What would you be interested in seeing?
Well, considering where things ended, we have this bridge that's being built, and then people protested it because the bridge troll, and we killed the bridge troll. So presumably the bridge gets finished someday, and we were able to safely get over the Eternal Rail Yard. My question is like, is it just more Veilthorn on the other side, or is there like something on the other side? Do we even know why we built this bridge over here?
I think there was more Veilthorn on the other side. It was just to cross over the Eternal Rail Yard, safely. Which, as you safely. Learned, is very dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah, just a little.
Okay. So considering all that, I know I'm a little long-winded here. Considering all that, I think that I would want to see something that has to do with, like, more, like, well, really, because this time is just me making it up, but, like, the bureaucracy being up to something. Because we've got some characters that are very kind of counter-authority, you know? Like, Ace's show is, like, a pretty official show, but it's not the voice of the bureaucracy, so it's kind of, like, counter to. And, like, obviously, Marv and Hendrix were counter to the bureaucracy. The only thing is, then, that would put Susanna's character, whose name is escaping me, I don't know why.
Theodore.
At odds with the group instead of Ace this time, so.
It makes sense for my character to be the one that's at odds with the group.
Yeah.
As the sole member of the bureaucracy, you know?
Yeah. Now, there's nothing saying that the bureaucracy has to be the bad guys, but I mean, my character believes it so much, maybe it just gets willed into existence or something, you know?
Yeah,
I would like to see more Marv and Hendrix versus the bureaucracy. Yeah. That was fun.
I want to lobby for a tunnel under the rail yard.
But your bridge already works.
I know, but like the bridge clearly has some difficulty, but I want like a tunnel. I'm sure you could come up with something fun about tunnels.
Oh yeah. I mean, who knows what lies beneath Veilthorn.
Exactly. Yeah. Like what lies beneath? Like that's what we're gonna do. We'll come back one day and do another one of these and it'll be like
tunnel vision.
It's what, like Veilthorn is like
beneath
if
the
you dig
thorn.
Like a hole like if you dig a hole straight down like to the other side of the earth, that's where Thornvale is.
Yeah.
Yep. Imagine if those two characters had to like those two sets of characters had to interact with each other.
Wait. So hold on a second. Hold on. This is like super conspiracy theory thought. So Hannah just said, what if you dug through to the other side of the earth and found Veilthorn on the other side of Thornvale? What if it was a situation? Have you ever heard of like the Hollow Earth conspiracy theory?
Oh, yeah.
Where there's like an interior world with its own sun and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That's where Veilthorn is. And that's why it's so absurd there. Because maybe there's something weird about the laws of physics not working and all that. Like
that's
what Yeah.
What kind of fan art would you all want to see from this one shot?
Oh, so much.
I want to see like the train scene. Just like wild stuff of trains exploding and
a train flying through the air.
Flying through the air and that would be great.
Yeah.
Although I always say, like, I want to see our characters, you know?
Yeah.
I would like a side-by-side of one shot of Theodore being, like, super serious businessman right next to a shot of him paintballing Ace's studio.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think that would just be hilarious.
Theodore just like using the paintball gun with a suit and tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
great.
He
just, like, splattered in paint, just, like, Rambo style, like... shooting
so
this paintball gun.
By the way, I just reminded me, now that I'm, like, listening back through the episodes, knowing where it ended, you used the word concerned so many times.
Uh-huh.
And that's I fair. Never paid attention to it. But you used the word concerned so many times. I was just like...
Yep.
It was almost like
I love to sprinkle little breadcrumbs.
I love your breadcrumbs.
My breadcrumbs.
I had another fan art idea. Some absurdist renditions of the interior of the town hall with all the kind of the the really kind of
I was gonna mention that too.
The cool stuff going on,
especially I would love to see the moment where Ace has been trapped by the road rug, trying to get to the office, and then he ultimately decides to break out of it, and then I'm just seeing him, like, bright spot of color standing in the middle of this, like, matte gray room with gray walls and gray cubicles and gray everything.
I could definitely see that.
As an aside, I'm now getting an idea for an Absurdia one-shot that involves fire alarms.
Oh. Well, I'm glad to provide inspiration.
There's definitely something to do there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, there was one time when I was renting, or I had this fire alarm that I didn't have batteries, and it was too late at night to go to the store to get batteries. And so I was like, I'll just take it out of the wall. Well, I took it out of the wall and it was still chirping even after it was out of the wall.
Yeah, they are persistent.
And, yeah.
In order to sleep, I had to, like, bury it under a pile of, like, blankets and pillows and to try and stifle the noise.
Yeah.
They are persistent.
So, what did y'all think? I'd love to hear what y'all think about Absurdia, the system. Were there things that you really enjoyed, like, mechanics-wise, from, you know, the basic moves, the faction moves, the playbooks, anything like that?
It's the best system we've played this year.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
No, but honestly, it is one of the best systems we've played in a while. It was really, really well made.
Thank you.
Everything made perfect sense. If you've played any, like, Powered by the Apocalypse game, like, it's so simple. I love the way you did the playbooks. Like, the way the playbooks were made made it really easy to, like, put them together.
Susanna, you're missing out on a golden opportunity here.
What's that?
The word you were just talking about Theodore using. It's got good synergy. I was going to chime in and say that, like, the way that the moves are written is really fun and they all make sense, like Susanna just said. I think, like, from a mechanics standpoint, I really like that you wove in the kind of, like, the faction idea that shows up in some other systems like Urban Shadows. And I specifically, in particular, really liked the fracture mechanic, how there's, like, kind of health, but there's also this fracture mechanic where you get a fracture and then you tie that to one of your basic moves and it then impacts the rest of your time using that move. So I really liked that. And I thought that was really kind of a cool way to, like, show your character being affected by things over time. So that was a lot of fun.
I like your luck mechanic as well. I think that's really nice, is that it's like you get to roll 3d6s instead of 2, kind of.
Mm-hmm,
I guess it's... what I would equip, I guess it's not called luck, but
it's it's similarly inspired.
Yeah, it's like the luck equivalent. I enjoy that a lot. I think that's cool. And I also really enjoyed my playbook. I thought the Rascal was a ton of fun.
Not a lot of people play the Rascal. I'm really glad you
That's
did.
That's so surprising to me because it was so fun. And that, like, their core thing is, like, the power of imagination. Like, that was really cool. That's, like, what sold me on the playbook when I was looking at them. I was like, yep, that's the one I want.
Yeah, I would say, I think the most played playbook is probably the Curio, and then maybe like the Vox and the Beeromancer. And I think the Rascal and maybe the Scrapper are like the least I've seen and heard played. So it was really cool that both of those got, you know, some play here in this one shot.
Yeah.
Very fun.
I really enjoyed playing mine. I think it was a lot of it was because it was meant to be inspired by things like Night Vale, because Night Vale, I think, was the very first podcast I ever actually started listening to. So to basically play a Cecil was really cool. I do remember thinking at the end, I picked the Can't Stop the Signal move because I thought, oh, that'd be really useful. I can, there's got to be some point in the story where that could work. And then we get to the very end that I haven't even touched that one. And I'm like, no.
Yep.
Funny how that turns
out. We'll just have to play another time.
Yes, I know. It was still fun. And once again, the fractured mechanic. I like that too, because not only does it speak to the idea that, oh yes, this is actually a town at the end of time where the weirdness of the void of the universe can break into it, but also the fact that the fractures don't have like a set list of effects, like, oh, you were going to get the fracture such and such. The fact that it doesn't have a set limit of those that can be used is great, because then depending on your game, you know, that's applicable in pretty much any situation you could possibly think of. Like, okay, what's the situation here? Well, I say that the fracture is this, which can work in pretty much any scenario, which is great.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about, as I was sitting here thinking about the way the game was written, everything about it really works with the theme of the game. Mm-hmm. Like everything really works, like from the names of things to the way it's written to the cover, everything really works. And that was one thing. Hannah and I attended a game making class.
A game design class that was hosted by Magpie Games. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking specifically about like the...
It was basic moves. It was a basic moves. Seminar. And they were talking about how just like one of the things they talked about was how just the names of like the stats and the basic moves themselves communicates to your audience what the core themes of the game are.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like looking at your stats and moves, like they definitely tell you everything you need to know about the game. Just looking at them.
Yep.
Absolutely. So that was one thing I was thinking about, like while we were listening to that seminar, we were like, oh hey, Quinn did really well at that thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Do y'all have any questions for me?
I have one.
Yes.
Was there anything that didn't happen because of how we played? I know that it probably was pretty free form, but was there something that you expected to get to that you didn't because of how the story went?
Not really. I will confess that when I run Absurdia, I create the threat and I create a list of NPCs, and sometimes I create a list of locations, and that's about it.
Okay.
I run a lot.
That's how I run Thornvale at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I run a lot with the playbooks, friends and rivals, and the factions that are involved, and just whatever y'all put out into the universe, you know, throughout play, like that's what I run with. So
that makes sense.
There wasn't really anything that y'all didn't get to that I had sort of planned, aside from the fact that with four players and one of them being the Vox with the move that has additional friends, I did not get to all of your friends and rivals.
That's true.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's okay.
I tried to get as many as I could in there.
Yeah, it was fine though.
The concern troll lent itself well to involving a lot of people in town in its mischief.
Yes. Very fair.
It was super fun. Yeah, just about the game. Like, can you tell us a little bit about the creation of the game? Like, your inspiration, how you decided to make it, how long it took? Just because we're just curious for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, sure.
The redacted
announcement comes out the Friday after this episode comes out. We could do an early one in this one for people who listen to these.
Let's just say that something fun is coming Friday, probably.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm happy to chat a little bit about it. So the notion came because I wanted to run something like this, and it didn't exist.
Good reason.
There's a few games that come sort of close. I think the closest I found was a game called Troika, which very much embraces the like surreal, absurd. It's a little crunchier. I'm a huge fan of PBTA and narrative based games, and Troika is great, but it was a little crunchier than what I was looking for. It didn't quite fit. I wanted something a little less fantastical, a little more surreal. Welcome to Night Vale. So that was the impetus. And I searched around for a while and couldn't find it. And I just kind of had ideas sort of starting to bubble up. And then I started writing some of them down. And then I started doing some playtesting with like very basic concepts before I had even... decided it was going to be PBTA. I thought about Forged in the Dark. I thought about Grant Howitt's Resistance system from Spire and some similar games. So, tested it out with like a kind of a skeleton game structure, and then, decided that I wanted it to be PBA and fleshed out the moves and the playbooks and did playtesting, all of that. It took probably the better part of a year and a half between all of that. And I mean, I'm still, I call this current version 0.9. I am still working on like the full, what I consider the full version, which has a lot more on the GM side. For anyone who's looked through the full book itself, it's got kind of everything on the player side and not everything on the GM side. As well as, there's some tweaks that I'm looking at to some playbook moves, some of the basic moves, some general mechanics. And so I'd say the work is ongoing, but to get to like that, the release, about a year and a half.
Okay.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Did you work on it with anyone else or was it just you?
I bounced some ideas off of different folks. During the pandemic, I had home game online with some folks, and we played every week. And many of them were, actually all of them are game designers, and so they provided me with some really good feedback. And obviously I play tested it with a variety of different groups, but no, I pretty much wrote it by myself.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did your podcast crew know about it?
No, they did not. Because I wanted to potentially play it on Monster Hour, and even if it wasn't as like a full season, like a mini or even just a one shot or like, a Patreon game or something. And so I wanted to kind of like work, and I also wanted to like play it and like work on it with different people to sort of like get different perspectives. So I mostly kind of kept that separate until I was ready to unleash it on them.
Cool. So did they know like ahead of time, like what you guys were going to be playing for your second season?
No. In between seasons, we talked about, I think we talked about six different systems, and we play tested two systems, including Absurdia. And then we sort of settled on that. I wanted it to be a group decision, and they all wanted to play Absurdia and told me I was being too formal about it because conflict of interest isn't really a thing. Aww. When it's your podcast and your game.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on a really good system.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think when we were playing it, there wasn't really any moment where I was like, oh, if I were making this, I would have done this thing differently or something. Yeah, I think it all came together pretty well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was all very intuitive. I know I've played some other games, especially crunchy games, where it's like, wait, how does that, like, make sense? But everything was very intuitive and, like, had that synergy, the word of the day. that kind of kept, like, the game flowing. Like, ADHD brain here. It's sometimes in crunchier systems, it's hard for me to stay focused all the time. Like,
yep, same.
If I'm not, like, actively, like, engaged. but I did not have any of those kinds of moments when we were playing this game. So ADHD friendly, ADHD approved.
I'm glad to hear that. I want it to be a very accessible game.
What is your favorite playbook?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to pick two because I don't think I can narrow it down more.
That's okay.
And it's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The Bureaumancer was one of the first playbooks I came up with. I work in local government, so a lot of those things come close to home. I love it, but there's also, you know, aspects that are kind of silly, a little absurd.
Mm-hmm.
I've always
That's why
really
it works so well.
Yeah, it was the first playbook I wrote, and I still to this day really enjoy it. The other one is the Zeitgeist, which was one of the hardest playbooks to write and figure out the mechanics for. But I love the notion of playing like a gestalt entity, where you mm-hmm. can play as multiple, like something that inhabits multiple bodies, in a way that I think like really works mechanically, both like mm-hmm. being narratively interesting, but also not being like wildly overpowered either.
Yeah.
So I think if I had to pick, you know, one, two, those would be it.
Cool. I was actually going to ask which playbook you wrote first.
Yeah, it was the Bureaumancer.
Yeah.
I love the Bureaumancer.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
The Vox obviously is pretty integral to the whole concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I can't think of any.
Not that I can think of, no.
Okay. Well, I think we can wrap this up then, which I will hand off to Susanna.
Alrighty, yeah.
Yes.
I can do that. Thank you so much for coming and running this for us. We had so much fun, honestly. Like, I made the joke that like this is our favorite game we've played this year, but honestly, like I think it's gonna be hard to beat. Like,
it's been a long time since I've laughed this hard in a one shot.
Yeah. Yep. That's very fair.
So I can't think of another one shot we laughed this hard in.
Aww.
Yeah.
And that's to be wonderful. Fair, like a lot of our one shots aren't like super funny, but like. Yeah. I think the closest one probably this is maybe Spell.
Yep. Probably.
Oh yeah. Actually, that
Honey Heist was really funny too.
Honey Heist was hysterical. Yeah. Spell was super fun. Yeah. This kind of had the same feeling. It's just ridiculous and fun mm-hmm. and crazy, and you never know what's gonna happen. And
I think you would really like Spell.
Ooh. Okay.
Spell. You would love.
I'm gonna check it out.
With your vocabulary, you would be amazing at that game.
Yes. Go check it out. But yeah, thank you so much again. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a great time. Like I said, for anyone who is interested in this game, you can find the link in our description, our show notes to the game. Go pick it up.
Go support this
awesome
man.
Yes.
Go support Quinn.
Yeah.
It's super fun. It's
if
totally
you've made
worth
it
having.
This far. Go by.
Rope all your friends into a weird, absurd, surrealist adventure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Do
if
it.
You, even if you just do a one-shot, like, it's great. It's a perfect system for a one-shot, mm-hmm. too, I think.
Yeah, it lends itself quite well.
Alrighty, with that,
yes.
We will go ahead and say goodbye. We will be back in another 2 weeks with another new game. It's going to be a good time.
Are you going to announce the game?
We are going to be back with
10 candles.
So that's going to be very fun. So come back in 2 weeks for
10 candles.
And we will say goodbye now. Goodbye.
Goodbye now.
Bye.
Bye, guys.